You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Welcome, everybody. This is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Be here every week and tell your friends about us. This is the first podcast that we've had since the Thanksgiving holiday, and it's a pleasure to be here with you after Thanksgiving. Maybe this is a good time to clean up some Thanksgiving leftovers, a few things still left to be said about Thanksgiving. First of all, I hope yours was a blessed Thanksgiving with family and friends. That in itself might be a miracle this year, because leading up to Thanksgiving, I can't believe this happened, I saw a number of folks on CNN and MSNBC and, some of the other places like those outlets. And these were people that, by and large, were not happy with the election returns. And so in a number of cases, they literally said on the public airwaves that if you were a member of their family and you had voted MAGA, Make America Great Again, what they actually meant is if you had voted pro-life and pro-family and pro-religious liberty, you were not welcomed at this year's Thanksgiving table. And I thought, man, is that where we've come to in America, that families will kick somebody out because they voted for the wrong candidate? I hope that's not the case. But, there's a guy on Fox, Jesse Walters. He hosts the show they have that comes on around 5 o'clock on Fox every evening, fairly popular show where they sit around and talk about the issues and so forth. Jesse Walters often jokes about the fact that his mother is a big liberal. And she will periodically send him, a text message or an email saying, Jesse, back off. You're embarrassing me and so forth. But literally this year, Jesse Walters said on the air that his mother sent him a message saying, by the way, Jesse, you are not welcome to this year's Thanksgiving table. Holy cow. Come on, Mrs. Walters, take a deep breath here. It was Thanksgiving. So, finally Thanksgiving came. It was late in the month. And even after a tumultuous election year that included, fortunately, failed attempted assassinations, the growing threats of a nuclear war between us and who knows how many other nations, all because of Russia and Ukraine, the growing economic uncertainty, I mean, there's a lot of pretty troubling things going on, even for men and women of faith and that are grounded in our faith. So it was good for us on Thanksgiving to have that time to thank God for all of the blessings he has provided us, even at a time of great anxiety. And I hope your Thanksgiving table was peaceful. But, prominent among those blessings we should have given thanks for and that we should continue to give thanks for is the fact that we live here in America. God, as I've said before, was not surprised when you were born here or immigrated to America. He blessed each of us by putting us in a nation that allows us the freedom to seek and worship God. Now, I know I don't need to remind you of this, but all over the world, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are not so blessed. They live in countries where they live in fear that somebody will discover that they are a follower of Jesus. Or even in spite of the danger, they proclaim their faith in Jesus. They get their families together on a Sunday morning and leave very humble homes. They walk long distances to go to a very modest church. Not like our mega churches in any way, shape, or form. There's no need to fight with anybody about a parking place, because in many of these countries, the number of Christians courageous enough to display their Christianity is very limited. And they walk into that church with their family, not knowing whether they will ever walk out of that church alive. Because every Sunday, there are Christians murdered around the world because of their faith. We take it for granted here. We were blessed by God when He permitted us, when He willed us, when He allowed us to be born here. So it's not a minor thing, and it should be on our mind at Thanksgiving and, quite frankly, every time we're on our knees. Now, let me remind you of something else. God has used America for His purposes. For example, historically, America has played a major role in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ by sponsoring missionaries that were sent around the world. Twice in the last century, we led the world in defeating the two horrible isms of the 20th century. First, Nazism in World War II. If Nazism would have prevailed, the whole world would have sunk into another dark age. And then there was the other great evil ism of godless communism. And a number of U.S. presidents from both political parties pursued policies that led in a very direct way to the fall of Soviet communism. Not the least of those presidents was Ronald Reagan, the man that I was proud to work for 8 years. He made it the calling of his presidency to bring down communism in the Soviet Union. The idea that our country is founded on of ordered liberty under God is one of the pillars of Western civilization, or as I prefer to call it, Judeo-Christian civilization. Everywhere this civilization has gone, it has brought with it more opportunity, more freedom, more economic possibilities of advancement than any civilization in the history of the world. Now, our country, and I don't say this with some misplaced pride, but our country changed the course of human history when it declared in its founding documents that our liberty does not come from government. Now, I know I've said this before. Our liberty doesn't come from government. It comes from the God of the Bible. But look, this is one of those things. There's no limit on the benefits of saying it. It's like telling your spouse that you love them, or telling your children you love them, or children telling their parents you love your parents. Every time you say it, there are benefits. It is a truth. When you speak the truth, there's no limit on the number of times you should say it. Our liberty does not come from government. It comes from the God of the Bible. Our founders deeply believed we are all created equal. What? Wait a minute. How can that even be? I know some people did read that and go, that's ridiculous. And I get what they're getting at. Look, if you know me personally, you know what I'm about to say is true. When I was born, long before I realized it, I had a genetic makeup that pretty well made impossible the idea that I would be a star player in the National Basketball Association. That just wasn't going to happen. You know, some of us we're built in all shapes and sizes. We come in all races. Some of us are born into families with a lot of money. Some of us are born into families with not very much money at all. So what in the world were the founders thinking when they said we are all created equal? Well, they said it in this sense, and it's a little mystical to some. We're created equal because we are all made in the image of God. That is the central idea of America. We often fall short of this ideal of thinking about ourselves in this way, but it is the founding ideal. And because we're built on that in this country and in the civilization linked to our country, it doesn't matter if you're a newborn with handicaps or a 95-year-old suffering from senility. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is or how much money you have in the bank. You are, by virtue of being born in the image of God, you are someone that has dignity, value, and worth. That's what the founders meant when they said we were born equal. Now, at Thanksgiving, when we hopefully all gave thanks to God, I hope we also reminded each other and ourselves that without Him and His protection, our nation is doomed. the increasing secularization of America represents a mortal threat to our future, to our children and grandchildren. You can even see, and this is, there's some irony in this, you can see our drift away from God even in the annual Thanksgiving proclamations issued by American presidents throughout our history. Now, don't go to sleep here. I'm going to remind you of a little history. In 1789, George Washington issued a Thanksgiving proclamation calling on Americans to offer the author of all the good that was, that is, or will be our sincere and humble thanks. Any idea who he was referring to? Of course he was referring to God, the God of the Bible. I could quote some of the other presidents after George Washington. Let's just stay on the ones that are really well known. Abraham Lincoln first designated a specific day to give thanks in 1863. And this was for the whole nation to give thanks to God. Now, does the year 1863 remind you of anything in your history? The Civil War was raging. We were fighting a war over whether one man could own another man. This wasn't some minor issue. And thank God the war was settled with the truth that no, all men, back to the founding, are created equal. But in the middle of that war, when 700,000 Americans would perish on the battlefield, Abraham Lincoln designates a specific day for the whole nation to give thanks to God. In his Thanksgiving proclamation for our blessings, he urged our divided nation to thank God at least seven times. He describes our Creator as the watchful providence of Almighty God. Another time he says, the gracious gifts of the Most High God. Another time, our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Now, all the people of America, North and South, knew who those were references to. It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and our Savior Jesus. Virtually every American, North and South, had read the Bible. They could quote it at length. And even though they were deeply divided, at war with each other, they both thanked the same God. I can fast forward to Ronald Reagan's Thanksgiving messages. He always put God at the center. So did Donald Trump during his first term. I have no doubt he will do it in his second term. Reagan was the guy I had the great blessing of working for 8 years. Let me just quote one thing from his Thanksgiving proclamation in 1982. It's very clear, and it's just what he has said every year he was president. He said, "I believe this anointed lamb was set apart in an uncommon way, that a divine plan placed this continent between the oceans to be found by people who had a special love of faith and freedom. Our pioneers asked that He, that's God, would work His, that's God, His will, so America would be a land of morality, fairness, and freedom." Now, I know I don't need to tell you that unfortunately many of our children and grandchildren are not being taught this history today. So it's up to us to teach it, particularly on days like Thanksgiving and during this time as we lead into Christmas. Now, unfortunately, when we teach it, we might have to give a quick ring to the White House because President Biden apparently doesn't understand this history either. President Biden's 2023 Thanksgiving proclamation and the last proclamation of his presidency this year mentions many sources of our blessings, but never mentions God. I would read the whole things for you, but they're so depressing. I mean, he confuses our blessings with who blessed us. So he thanks our first responders, our people in the military. Well, of course, we're thankful for them. But who gave us men and women like that? Well, that's God. And Joe Biden will not mention God in these Thanksgiving proclamations. One critic, after seeing these proclamations, said, look, this was an agnostic, that means somebody that doesn't know whether there's a God, or even an arguably atheistic Thanksgiving message. That's not me saying that. That's a theological historian that looked at this message and said, Biden's Thanksgiving message didn't have anything to do with God. The omission of God from the annual proclamation of Thanksgiving, it's happened every year all the way back to George Washington. The omission of God has only happened a couple of times under two presidents. The first time was Barack Obama's 2016 Thanksgiving proclamation, and the next two times were these last two by Joe Biden. Before that, every American president from George Washington forward recognized that God was the source of our blessings as a nation. Well, JDFI has high hopes. 2025 will be a time when God is restored to the center of our public life. We hope political leaders in both parties will understand that if we don't become one nation under God, we will reap a bitter harvest, and we will end up being just another nation that has gone under. In other words, another nation that has fallen. We pray that you will continue to stand with JDFI and support our work for faith, family, and freedom. These wonderful weeks ahead offer a lot of opportunities. And as we go through the rest of this calendar year into next year, we covet your prayers, and we hope that you will pray and then support our work as we try to stand for your values. Now, I want to close the podcast today by going back to something I mentioned at the beginning of our time together, and that was this phenomena this year where people were disinviting family members from Thanksgiving because they didn't like the results of an election. Now, I'm not saying we should gloss over our differences in America. Look, we're all pro-life. We believe all of our children should be welcomed into the world, protected by the law, have a seat at the table. People on the other side are pro-abortion. They're willing to tolerate it all 9 months of the pregnancy. We shouldn't, in the interest of getting along, surrender our pro-life views. But we all should strive, when it comes to the family God has put us in, to put differences aside when it comes to sit together as a family, hopefully to thank God for our blessings. We have three adult children. They're all married. And our middle child, Sarah, she lives with her family in the Atlanta, Georgia area. We were with her and her family over Thanksgiving, and we'll all be together with the rest of the family at Christmas time. But a number of years ago, Sarah wrote a prayer, a poem, a liturgy about this idea of asking God to help us love those we are meant to love, even when we have deep disagreements about a lot of different things. I think as a father, and of course I am her dad, so I'm probably biased, but I think it's a very moving message. And I've asked her to close the podcast today by sharing that brief prayer with you. Here it goes, and God bless you all, and look forward to being with you next week.
For family near and peaceable, Lord, we give thanks. For family far and conflicted, Lord, we give thanks. For the ones easy to love, for the ones we fight to love, Lord, we give thanks. For people we don't understand, for people who don't understand us, Lord, we give thanks. For easy conversation and expressed affection, for gentle discord within our discourse, Lord, we give thanks. For unity, not sameness, for charity in all things, for a world that reflects your goodness, for humankind that bears your image, Lord, we give thanks. For a day when we'll delight in our differences and not just tolerate them, for a gathering of every tribe and every tongue, for a table and a feast today, anticipating the one we'll enjoy with you someday. Lord, we give thanks. Amen.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.